We present Clement Freud, Thora Heard, Peter Jones, and Derek Nimmo in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. Hello and welcome to Just a Minute. Well, as you've just heard, we welcome back into our guest chair this week, Thora Heard, who was so successful in our series last year, to play and compete on unequal terms with his three tough regular players, Peter Jones, Derek Nimmo, and Clement Freud. Someone has buzzed already. It's Derek Nimmo. What is it, Derek?
Well, deviation. Miss Thora Heard hasn't been on the programme before. So if she hadn't been on the programme before, she couldn't have been successful.
But if I had been on the programme, I would have been.
But we welcome you back. Welcome somebody. You can't welcome somebody back if they haven't been on the programme before. So deviation.
Absolutely right, Derek. I'm glad you're observant. I just threw that one in to see if you were awake. Anyway, welcome, Thora, and you'll have my support in anything you do with these three horrible men. And we'll begin the show. Oh, yes, I'm going to ask them to speak, of course, as usual, for just a minute, if they can, the subject I will give them, without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject on the card. And we'll begin the show with Clement Freud, and the subject to start with is poverty. Clement, will you talk about poverty for 60 seconds, starting now?
Poverty is something which I'm currently enjoying, if that is the right verb. When the government are asked whether or not they're successful, they do tend to say, in one thing, we have done precisely what we promised. We have lowered the standard of everybody's living. And at the same time, they mention my name. The extraordinary thing about poverty is that it is
a repetition
of extraordinary.
Yes.
Extraordinary about the government, extraordinary about poverty.
Yes, I'm afraid that's...
An extraordinary government.
So that's a correct challenge, Derek. You get a point for that, and you take over the subject, and there are 38 seconds left on poverty, starting now.
My goodness, I have known poverty. As Parsons has just told you, I've just come back from the mystic East, and there, when I was wandering through Calcutta, seeing all these bodies huddled up, lying on the pavement, one realised what real impoverishment meant. Ladies and gentlemen, sitting here in the audience tonight, please donate money to Oxfam Save the Children Fund, any worthwhile international charity, so that this kind of poverty can be alleviated throughout the world.
Peter Jones has challenged.
This is the second party political broadcast tonight, and I don't think it ought to be allowed to go on.
Well, I thought that one was a political broadcast. This was an appeal.
Well, I know, but...
And I must say, Derek Limmer doesn't appeal very much to me, so...
I mean, it's supposed to be light entertainment. That's what they describe it as.
Well, it's rather difficult on poverty, isn't it, really?
Yes.
And actually, he wasn't technically in the game deviating from the subject of poverty, Peter, so he gets a point for a wrong challenge. He keeps the subject. There are 12 seconds left, starting now.
Actually, I think poverty is rather a poor subject. And therefore...
Peter Jones has challenged.
He's no right to criticise a subject.
But he can make a comment if he wishes, and it was quite a good one, actually. And therefore it was another wrong challenge.
I see. I got the impression, you see, you were not on his side at the beginning. But obviously I've heard that.
I always try and be fair, however
rude
and unpleasant
you
all three are.
Yes.
There are 8 seconds left on poverty with you, Derek, starting now.
Rags and tatters I find thrown along the railways of the international waterways and municipal fauna...
I think you might say he was saved by the whistle. He was running out of steam, out of words and everything else, and he almost collapsed, and the whistle saved him, which of course tells us that 60 seconds is up, and whoever is speaking, or in this case attempting to speak at that moment, gains an extra point. It was Derek Nimmo, and I don't need to tell you he's got all the points in that round, and he's naturally in the lead. And Derek, we come to you to start the second round, and the subject is ash. Would you talk on that for just a minute, starting now?
One remembers well the Wimbledon finals of last year. Arthur Ashe and Billy Connors. What an exciting game that was. And then one thinks of Oscar Ashe, that great musical figure and theatrical man of Britain who died some few years ago. But when one thinks of Nicholas Parsons, who was a founder member of the Non-Smoking Society of Great Britain...
Clement... You challenged long before.
It was a repetition of Parsons.
Yes.
I mean, one Parson, one would have said was enough.
But you have a correct challenge as well, Clement, and you have 26 seconds on ASH starting now.
ASH, the initials ASH, stands for Action on Smoking and Health. And a very splendid committee this is, on which I have the privilege to serve. The first time I ever went to them, they met in Westminster Hall, and I talked endlessly about the day I went to a hypnotist who thought he could cure me of my allergy. It was a very seedy, shoddy mansion in the hinterland of Harley Street.
And Derek Nimmer has challenged.
He's no longer talking about ash. He's talking about his allergy.
Yes, I think he had gone sufficiently off the subject for you to...
Just coming back on it, you know.
I know. You didn't get back quick enough, so I count that as deviations. 1.5 seconds left with you, Derek, on ash, starting now.
The oak, the ash, the elm.
Well, we've had a party political broadcast, an appeal for those in need, and now... an expression of something very worthwhile in our society, all those horrible smokers. We now move to Peter Jones. And Peter, the subject is keeping cool. You're obviously a regular listener, sir, and you know how they lose their cool regularly in the programme, but Peter Jones will try and talk for just a minute on keeping cool, starting now.
Well, it is awfully important, if one is taking part in any kind of competition, to keep calm or, alternatively, cool, because sometimes one is thrown by the other competitors, or alternatively, by the chairman, umpire, referee.
Clement Freud has challenged.
I'm afraid that was the second alternatively.
I'm afraid so, Peter. So that was a correct challenge to Clement, and a point to him. And 44 seconds are left, Clement, for you on keeping cool, starting now.
One of the best ways of keeping cool is to put a vast number of clothes onto early in the morning, so that as the sun rises towards noon and the temperature gets hotter and ever more warm.
Derek Nimmo.
Actually, the sun normally rises a little bit before noon, so I would say that was deviation.
I think he actually said rises towards noon.
Yes.
And whether you
go back
say
to Calcutta,
7 or 8 or... I mean, even 5 o'clock is towards noon. It's not away
no,
from noon.
No, it's away from noon.
What's that?
A.M. or P.M.?
A.M. I'm talking about. I'm sorry. So I'm with you, Clement. Why don't try and talk yourself out of it? You've got a point for a wrong challenge and 35 seconds left on keeping cool, starting now.
Shoes, socks, pants, cami knickers, shirts, ties, jackets, jerseys, all come off in order to keep cool. And this is the great secret. Put on as many upper and outer garments as you're able to summon. Open your wardrobes, take out your drawers, call out the fire brigade.
Peter Jones has challenged.
A repetition of drawers.
No, he didn't mention drawers before.
Oh, he didn't? Cami knickers, yes. I associate cami knickers with drawers. I don't know why.
If you wear cami knickers, then you probably would, Peter. There are 13 seconds left for keeping cool, Clement, starting now.
Currently, we're keeping cool via centigrade, when we used to use Fahrenheit or even Réaumur. And the astonishing thing is that you keep exactly the same coolness, whichever grade you use.
Keeping cool right to the end of the round when the whistle went was Clement Freud. He gained that extra point. He got a lot of other points in the round. He's 1 point behind Derek Nimmer, who is in the lead. And Thora Heard, we're not only going to hear from you, but you're going to start the next round. Thora, the subject that we've chosen to start with for you is jams. Would you try and talk on jams for just a minute, starting now?
Yeah, well, the word you've just mentioned now, of course, is a word that's known to myself and to any lady in the audience my own age, and, in fact, ladies a lot younger than I am, because that is a commodity where we do go out, don't we, and we start to collect things, getting our hands scratched and all the rest of it when it's blackberries, and make what you just said and put it in jars, and it's much more expensive than if you go and buy it. But that word also applies to the two stone sides of a fireplace, which I'm sure you know, Nicholas, and, of course, it does apply to the clay pan that runs under a mine. That's another thing. Also, if you're trying to walk through a door, particularly a swing door, And you go like that. It's done that as well, you see, because that's jammed as well. And my words, my dictionary isn't half thumbed, wondering for a lot of words that you might ask me today. But jams, and that's the first time I'm using the word, is something that I've made all my married life. And there's a lot of ways you can do it, and I've just been making apple. What you...
Well, Thora Heard, joining the game for the very first time, not having competed before, took the subject of jams, kept going for 60 seconds without being interrupted, and so she not only got a point for speaking when the whistle went, but a bonus point for not being interrupted. So, Thora, you have 2 points at the end of that round, and the audience appreciated your jammy dissertation. We're back with you, Clement, to begin. The subject now is bones. Would you talk for just a minute on that, starting now?
In this country, when a man is very tall, he tends to be called tiny. Should he be bald, they name him curly, and so on. And I once came across an extraordinary chap who was obese, obtuse, fat, larded, and his name was Bones. He was a bouncer in a nightclub. And when I came up to him, he said to me, "I know judo, kung fu, karate, and 3 other Chinese words," which I thought was fairly frightening. I ran down the street feeling that once again I had met my match. In view of...
Peter Jones has challenged.
I think Curly hesitated there.
You are right, Peter, and you have the subject. And it is bones, and there are 25 seconds left, starting now.
It's one of the few words that remind...
Clement Freud has challenged. You can't think of a nickname for him.
Hesitation.
Not a good nickname. There are 23 seconds for you with bones again, Clement, starting now.
Pork, veal, beef, chicken, turkey, duck, lamb, rabbit, hare, pigeon, even small singing birds all have bones, which some do, others less so, benefit towards a stock pot with which you make delicious, nourishing...
Peter Jones has challenged.
That's, can't be right, can it? Benefit towards a stock pot.
You mean a sort of...
That's ungrammatical. I mean, no, it's not English.
It's pedantic.
Deviation of grammar.
It's pedantic.
The deviation of grammar.
No. Yeah, I thought it was, yes.
Grammatical.
It was ungrammatical, and it was... not even colloquial English. I think deviation of grammar, yes. And, Peter, you have 1.5 seconds on bones, starting now.
If you boil them in a pressure cooker, you get...
Oh, however you interpret it, he's certainly Clement Freud was struggling once he got all those birds and animals into the pot. Peter, you were speaking when the whistle went. You gained an extra point. You moved into third place just ahead of Thora Heard, and Clement Freud and Derek Nimmo are equal in the lead. And Derek, we're back with you to start. The subject, fortune, and would you talk on that one for just a minute, starting now?
Some people say that one's face is the same thing's fortune. Actually, I have never subscribed to that view, because when one looks around this panel here and sees the wealthy people, old Curly sitting there, his pockets bulging with all kinds of jam, which I suppose one might also call money, but that is not really because his fortune is his desire.
Clement Freud has challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, I agree with that, Clement. 38 seconds on fortune with you, starting now.
I'm awfully glad to be given the word fortune, because the lack thereof is poverty, which I was trying to describe earlier before I was very really interrupted. My point about this quality is that it's immensely time-consuming. If one is rich or has a fortune, people always know exactly what to buy and what they can do. And it is lack of money or resources which takes so many hours, days and weeks wondering whether one ought to get a new suit or perhaps pay the gas bill, deliberating on the alternative or relative merits of different bills, accounts, receipts, statements.
And Derek Nimmo challenged with half a second to go.
What bill, was it? Actually, a gas bill and then the other.
Yes, that's right, there was more than one bill. We're very socially conscious this week in our programme, aren't we?
More than one bill.
Yes.
And quite right.
There's only half a second left, Derek, and the subject's fortune starting now.
I sat in the fortune teller's tent. Yeah.
Well, Derek was lucky to get in with half a second to go and gained an extra point there, and he's taken the lead again. Peter Jones, we're with you to start, and the subject is adding it up. Oh, dear, from poverty, bills, everything, we're really on. Can you talk on that for just a minute, starting now?
I've never had a lot of difficulty in this, because there's never been enough of it to give me any trouble. But I've noticed that most people now have calculators, small things in their pockets with a lot of buttons that light up and everything. I suppose they can't really add up in their heads anymore, can they? That tends to be something that seems to be happening to everybody, not only the children at school who carry these appliances around with them in their breast pockets next to their ballpoint pens and their pencils and so forth, but they also seem to have discarded the old beads that they used in the East particularly. I expect probably Derek would be able to tell us all about this. They have these things on
Derek
wires.
Just confirming that I would be able to tell you all about it.
Thanks very much.
You mean you still can't with beads, do you?
In the East, if you were listening, you don't listen very much, I know, Nicholas, but well, he did talk about the East.
Yes, I did hear the East. But
I didn't mean that they paid with the beads, I meant they calculated.
Calculated, weren't they originally?
Yes, but in kindergartens, they still use the old abacus with the beads.
Do they really?
Yes.
Yes, well, you were at kindergarten, of course, more recently than I was.
That's perfectly true, I won't deny it.
I know you were.
There are 20 seconds. What was your challenge? It wasn't
about
a good
18
one,
before
I
left.
Sort of
incorrect. I mean, it was.
It wasn't really.
It was more of an interruption.
An interruption rather than a challenge.
Yes, that's quite.
Interruption. Yes.
Rather boring.
But very welcome, Derek. Any time.
So we're adding up the points, and there's another point to Peter there because it's an incorrect challenge. And there are 20 seconds left, Peter, on adding it up, starting now.
Yes, adding it up. Now, what else can I say about this fascinating subject, which seems to be boring the hell out of everybody I can see? Well, now, this adding it up. Let's now pause for a moment. we're not allowed to do that. We're not allowed to reflect, are we, in this program? We must just go on talking, however rubbish it is.
Well, Peter got some more points in that round, and he's moving up on Clement Freud, who's now still one behind our leader, Derek Nimmo, and Fora Hurd, your turn to begin. The subject is the things in my handbag.
Oh, have I got half an hour instead of a minute, do you think?
But you've got to do it without hesitation, repetition.
Yeah, all right, well, I can do that. May I
interrupt just for a moment? I'd like to ask this, because it fascinates me. I noticed that last time Nicholas told us the score, you were at the bottom. And I couldn't quite understand that, since you are the only one of us who's been able to speak for a whole minute without deviating or interrupting or repeating or anything.
Well, I think I can explain that, you see, Peter, because I keep forgetting to press my button because I'm so interested listening to all you say. I will press it, though, in a bit.
On the different rounds, you've all been getting points where you've been challenged correctly or incorrectly. Thor's just got 2 points for speaking for...
Is that all you get? You only get 2 points for
speaking?
That's
all, yes. We didn't give a 10 or something like that and put in the lead, no.
Yes,
that's right.
Well, no incentive for me, is there? Might as well go on interrupting.
Thora, you have 60 seconds to talk on things in my handbag, starting now.
Well, we were once at the studios and we were waiting for some lighting to be done.
I'm not going to interrupt for that. I don't think it'd be fair.
Well, you talk about things in your handbag.
Well, I left it in the ration suite, hanging up next to the raincoat.
What was your challenge?
It wasn't a challenge. It was just a
comment.
You stopped
her anyway.
No, I didn't. She stopped. I couldn't stop her. I just made a comment. I said, I'm not going to interrupt
because
Clement Freud said, you see.
There seems to be deviation from the way we used to play this game.
If you were to say hesitation, I'd say Thor has hesitated for quite a long time because no one's actually interrupted.
Well, that's only because I'm polite, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. As you're so polite,
quality
you haven't played
program.
It, and they're being so wicked as to interrupt you without even challenging, Thora, I'm going to give you a point.
Why not?
For an incorrect challenge, because... thank you. Yes.
That's fair.
Right.
Fair. Isn't it?
And tell you that you have 48 seconds to talk about the things in my handbag starting now.
The things in your handbag? No. Are in mine. I don't call this a repair. Pete, because I started this before. We were once at the studios, we were waiting for something to be lit. And just for fun, there were six of us, and we said, just for fun, let's have... It was a lot...
Thora Heard is challenged.
Well, I buzzed it for her, actually. It repetits until she gets a point and can go on.
Who's signing?
No, I buzzed her own button.
I know you did.
Just giving her a point, you see. I thought it was rather nice collapsing.
Wait in.
Whatever, I...
You see...
But you'd have been much more gentlemanly if you let the listeners think that she buzzed it herself.
Oh, all right.
But well, anyway, Thora,
him.
You're
well,
allowed
to interfere with Thora. That is a man all over.
It's not a button that counts. It doesn't matter who
your
buzzes
button,
it.
Your button, you challenge.
I say, do forgive him, Mr. Chairman. What a funny game.
And you have 40 seconds to continue on the things in my handbag, starting now.
Yeah, well, the late Edith Evans would have done this so much better than I, in a handbag. But we did play this game, and what we were doing, we were putting a shilling down to see who had the most things in the handbag. And if I tell you I had 131 items in my handbag, you'll wonder, or at least you won't, why my husband once said to me, if you had to carry that...
Kevin Freud has challenged you.
No, I would wonder.
Yes.
Yes.
So what do you get for that?
So what is your... Yes. It's developed into a very funny game.
For you to sort out.
What is your challenge?
There was no challenge. It was a remark.
Well, in that case, it was just an interruption, and Thora gets a point for being
you seem to have lost total control of he's just going completely to pieces.
I think he's just sticking up for me a little bit because he realises I'm the only serious one on the show.
Yes.
And tell it. And, do you want to know what was in my... You don't.
No, you can tell us now because you've got a wrong challenge and you have another point, Thora, and you have 18 seconds left to talk about the things in my handbag starting now.
Yes, and if I tell you in that 18 seconds...
Derek Nimmer's challenge.
Well, she has said, if I tell you, actually, several times. So it was rather mean, but it was just a reflex act. It was repetition, I'm sorry.
Well, has she got a point for interruption from Peter Jones and one from Clement Freud, I'm going to allow her to have another point for that interruption.
Absolutely
from you.
Right. Yes, lovely. Yeah.
And tell her that she has another 20 seconds to continue on the things in my handbag. But tell us about a few of the things and not how amazed you would be using that phrase again, you see.
Well, I won't, Mr. Chairman, because I'm so relieved now that I have so few seconds to speak about it.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
No, that was Clement Freud pressed my buzzer.
Mr. Chairman, can we have a new rule
so
about people pressing
press
each other's buttons?
What is your challenge?
Well, I don't have a challenge.
Well, in that case, another point for Thora Heard. Thora, you have 15, 16 seconds on the things in my handbag starting now.
Well, Mr. Parsons, I hope I can take 16 seconds to tell you I've forgotten what was in there.
Challenge.
Repetition of Mr. and second. Mr. Parsons.
Yes, and you don't want to repeat Mr. Parsons,
yes.
I quite agree. So now I will give it to you, Derek, and tell you that you have 12 seconds on the things in my handbag, starting now.
Well, actually, you know, I keep in my handbag, of course, my nail varnish and my compact, my little comb, my brush, and some very interesting
Kevin Freud is challenged.
Repetition.
What of?
You said my four times.
Yes, he did.
Can't you give somebody a question? I'll mind your own business.
Yes. But, Clement, you had a correct challenge, and you have 5 seconds on the things in my handbag, dear, starting now.
Cigarettes, matches, on and on. Pipe tobacco pouch.
Peter Jones has challenged.
A deviation, because I know quite well he doesn't have cigarettes in his handbag.
I don't have a handbag either. Not deviant.
I know he doesn't have cigarettes because, like me, he's a founder member of ASH.
Exactly.
Well done.
Doesn't have a handbag, so it is a hypothetical question.
His question wasn't hypothetical.
No, your question to me.
Come on, Nick, rally, boy, rally.
No. Your comments might have been hypothetical, but his challenge was definite, and I allow it.
Thank you very much.
Because it's positive.
I kept to the subject.
What?
I kept to the subject.
Yes, I know, but you invented it. You said you'd got something in your handbag which you didn't have, because you haven't got a handbag, and even if you did have, you wouldn't have that in it.
I would like to hear what Peter Jones has got in his handbag anyway, and there's 1.5 seconds, Peter, to try and tell us, starting now.
I've got a bright red apple.
Right, so at the end of that round, the situation's extremely close. You might be surprised, or might, other, you might not be surprised to hear that Thora Heard has leapt forward very dramatically. I don't know who helped her, but being new to the game, it is a surprise. And she's actually overtaken Peter Jones. She's one ahead of Peter Jones, and she's only two... No, she's only one behind Clement Freud and Derek Nimmo, who are equal in the lead, 9, 8, 7, respectively. Clement Freud, we're back with you to start, and the subject is keeping above water. Would you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
This is something which is almost impossible to do if you sink or drown. Many people have attempted it, and when the lifeguards have come along and said you should have kept above water, they say that is a typically pointless and stupid question, such as Nicholas Parsons might ask contestants on Just a Minute, that funny game invented by... What was your name?
Derek Nimmo has challenged.
He's forgotten the funny man who invented the funny game. Yes, yes.
And so he paused, and you came in, Derek, and Ear Mist has gone very red, and there are 39 seconds left for keeping above water, starting now.
I think it's one of the best ways of keeping above water is to get into a boat. It seems to be fairly simple, really. And off you go, rowing across the lake, waving to your chums, standing by the shore, lifting your parasol above your head, opening your handbag, and taking out your little red apple. And when you munch into it, you think of all the jam that you could have made from that little fruit that I've just mentioned, and the poverty that has been alleviated.
Clement Freud is challenged.
Repetition of little.
Yes, I'm afraid.
Little apple and little.
You've got every other subject in, but you did repeat little in the process.
Yeah, absolutely.
Little red apple and little. And now Clement Freud has caught up with you again, and I've just received a message that this will have to be the last round because we have very little time left, and there are 15 seconds left, Clement, keeping above water, starting now.
A helicopter or an aeroplane are other things in which you can take a seat and keep above water. Indeed, 30,000 feet or more is the sort of height which you could attain if the atmosphere was correct and your pilot was geared...
Well, Clement Freud concentrated, kept going, was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and now I will give you the final score. Peter Jones came in fourth place. And, but he... What's funny about that? He got something... He was only 1 point behind our guest, Thora Heard, who, without any help from the chairman, did extraordinarily well. She was 2 points behind Derek Nimmo, who held the lead for a very long time, but he lost it on the last fence to Clement Freud, who is this week's winner, Clement Freud. Hope that you've enjoyed listening to Just a Minute this week and will want to tune in again at the same time next week when once again the four of us, or five of us, will take to the air and play this impossible and delightful game of Just a Minute. Until then, from all of us here now, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by John Browse.